Hi, I'm Jack from Saugerties, and I'm at the radio station with my sister Katie. You're listening to WGXC Aqua. Have a nice day!
Here at WGXC, who's operating on a much smaller budget than even the other public radio stations. So if anybody out there wants more bang for your buck to help out your local community, please consider donating to WGXC. It is tax deductible and really helps out your community. Again, if you're interested in doing that, the phone number is 518-6977-400, or to the more, standard people, 518-697-7400, and we will be happy to take any donation you would have for us.
It's called phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm. Gotta have it.
Nah, I could just say it any way I want. It's all the numbers.
Well, to the nerdiest of us, 7400 is a series of TTL gates that are the basis of the earliest computers. So, yeah, I don't have any trouble memorizing that number. It means a lot to me.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Times Union reports that Albany County announced on October 10th one new death, 14 new COVID-19 cases, and 3 new hospitalizations. A woman in her 70s is the 136th person to die from coronavirus in Albany County. Quote, "My condolences go out to her family and all the other families who have lost loved ones throughout the pandemic," unquote, Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said. Albany County currently has 112 active cases. Albany County announced a few days ago that some of the current outbreak is from the DePaula Chevrolet on Central Avenue, which is now closed through October 20th. Other recent cases came from the University of Albany. Greene and Columbia counties each announced one new COVID-19 case on October 9th, and Columbia County added 4 more cases October 10th. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan said the county has reached over 100,000 coronavirus diagnostic tests since March 10th, while Greene County recently said it only has capacity to test those who have been exposed to someone who had the virus. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that IBM has announced it will separate its managed infrastructure services unit of its global technologies division into a new public company. The separation is expected to be completed by the end of 2021. IBM employs 4,000 people in its Poughkeepsie facilities. Quote, "IBM's intention to split into two companies was just announced, and we are still waiting for more details, and by we, I think that includes IBM employees globally," unquote, said Ron Hicks, assistant Dutchess County executive for economic development. Quote, "First and foremost, IBM System Z has continuously stabilized IBM with increased revenue and business growth. If you have a smartphone, there's a good chance a transaction you made today has passed through a mainframe made in Poughkeepsie. IBM also has cloud computing centers and a new quantum computation center in Poughkeepsie," unquote, he said. Quote, "Bottom line, we look forward to working closely with IBM to help their business grow and create more jobs in Dutchess County." Read more about this story at midhudsonnews.com. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that an injured hiker was airlifted to Albany Medical Center following an accident last week in the Cotterskill Wild Forest, the State Department of Environmental Conservation spokesperson said October 9th. The unidentified man, 65, from Queens, sustained serious physical injuries after he fell approximately 20 feet from Bastion Falls. At roughly 1 p.m. October 3rd, Greene County 911 notified Forest Ranger Daniel Fox of the injured hiker on the Catterskill Falls Trail. Fox assisted paramedics who were treating the injured hiker. Within 15 minutes, the man was placed in a litter and carried out to a waiting Town of Hunter ambulance on Route 23A. The hiker was transported by LifeNet helicopter to Albany. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane School Board at its October 6th public meeting appointed Ruth Moore to fill the board vacancy created by the resignation of Jessica Berner, who resigned in September. Moore will serve until May 2021. The meeting was held in person and via Zoom. School Board President Matthew Nelson thanked those who expressed interest in the open seat. He said the district received several responses and met with two of the candidates at a special meeting on September 29th. Nelson said Moore will bring a tremendous amount of experience to the board. Until recently, Moore served as executive director of the Cornell Cooperative Extension for Dutchess County. At the same meeting, the board's student representative, Aaron Curry, updated everyone on how the school reopening has gone. She said the students are all happy to see their teachers again and noted the online remote learning programs have improved greatly since the spring when the district buildings were closed abruptly due to the pandemic. This year, all students in grades 6 through 12 have in-person classes 2 days a week and online classes 3 days a week. Students in kindergartens grade 5 are in school 5 days a week. Students also had the choice to attend school only remotely. Quote, the screen breaks and the mask breaks have been very helpful, unquote, she said of the program. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany says Sunday should be mostly cloudy, but gradually becoming sunny, with a high near 56 and a low around 41. Columbus Day on Monday, rain is in the forecast. There's an 80% chance, mainly before 2 p.m. Then showers are still possible, with a high near 50 and a low around 46. Tuesday again, there's an 80% chance of showers, mainly before 8 a.m., with a high near 63 and a low around 42. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. Tune in WGXC's new Sunday morning schedule with the Reverend Kim Singletary and There's a Bright Side Somewhere every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. That's followed by the teens from Hudson talking about books they've read on Bound by Books after the local news at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., there's more teens. The Catskill kids from Clubhouse Radio are on at 10 a.m. with lots of music and talk on your community radio station, WGXC.org, 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Igers Kildas and Louisa Sabin Kildas of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
It's time again for WGXC's Pledge Drive. This time, essential radio is the theme. And we know that these days during the pandemic, not all of you have the means to make a donation to community radio. Those of you that do have the means to keep community voices on 90.7 FM, please do at wgxc.org/donate. Call 518-697-7400. But if you do not have the means these days, there are still ways to help. For one, you could call our 3-minute phone line at 518-291-WGXC or 518-291-9492. Leave a 3-minute message about why community radio is important to you and why others should make a donation to WGXC. If you do have the means, by all means do become a sustainable supporter at wgxc.org/donate and help keep community radio on the air in your community. If you don't have the means, you can also amplify the WGXC Essential Radio Pledge Drive on social media by retweeting and liking and sharing posts about the WGXC Pledge Drive or about how to become a sustainable supporter at wgxc.org/donate. Please do what you can to help keep Community Voices on the air at 90.7 FM.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's, and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am a graduate of Hudson High School and a student at Columbia Green Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Ashuda. I'm 18 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 6 years old. I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
So before we talk about books today, though, it's a WGXC pledge drive, the Essential Radio Pledge Drive. And we are doing our part to help WGXC raise some much needed funding to help keep shows like Bound by Books on the air and keep other community radio shows like ours on WGXC and keep it thriving. And we know that there are a lot of wonderful nonprofits and causes out there that you could contribute to. And we hope that you consider WGXC as one of them. And we're so grateful to the support of all of the donors, past, present, and future, for helping keep WGXC going. So during the fall 2020 pledge drive, we're looking to add 30 new sustaining supporters to our goal of securing $5,000 a month in listener support. And at present, WGXC has 221 donors contributing an average of $14.83 a month, which is $3,278 towards our ultimate goal. So our ability to secure 30 new supporters during this campaign will play a critical role in keeping the station viable in the months to come. And so far in the pledge drive, the last I saw, although by the time this broadcast, maybe it will have changed, so you can check the website for updates. But as of recording, there are 12 new sustaining supporters of the 30, which is the goal. So we could use some more sustaining supporters to help us reach that goal. And I highly suggest doing a sustaining supporter pledge because it's so easy. You just decide how much you can spend per month supporting WGXC, and then you can set it up so it automatically deducts from your account each month. So it could be $5, $10, $15, $20, $25, $50, and so on per month. And just set it up, and then you don't have to think about it. And WGXC gets some much needed support. And for me, I've contributed to WGXC for many years. And so this was an easy ask for me, thinking, how much can I put in per month? And I forget how much I gave at first, but I remember thinking, if I just didn't buy a few coffees per month, that would be that donation. So you can give a certain amount each month that really adds up over the year. But when you think of it, $10 a month, that really is a couple cups of coffee. So think about what you spend your money on. Maybe there's somewhere where you can save and give it to WGXC instead.
Yay.
So we hope some of you listening out there who love youth radio and WGXC and Bound by Books will contribute. You can go to wgxc.org/donate to make your contribution. You can check out the website while you're there. You can listen to old archived radio shows of Bound by Books going way back. I forget if they go all the way back, but Bound by Books has been on the radio since the station began way back when. So you might be able to catch some early shows with Quinn or Maddie, or old friends, or more recent shows with all of these friends here. So if you value WGXC and want to keep it a part of your daily life, we ask that you make a tax-deductible contribution to help keep WGXC on the air and keep youth voices on the radio, keep community voices on the radio, commercial-free radio on your dial. So go to wgxc.org/donate and make a sustaining support pledge. Join us. And thank you to all of the listeners out there who are already sustaining supporters or who make contributions to WGXC in one way or the other. Every little bit counts. And we're so grateful to you for your support. And we're grateful to WGXC for sharing this time with us and allowing us to talk about books every week on the radio. And for me, it's really powerful having young people have space on the radio to speak. Certainly not something I had access to as a kid. And I think people could benefit in this world from listening to young people more often. So thanks, WGXC, for giving young people that space to share their voice and their thoughts and their opinions. So wgxc.org/donate. Please go make a donation. Help keep WGXC on the air. Now we're going to talk about some books. And then we'll come back and remind you to make a donation, because that's what we do during the Essential Radio Pledge Drive. So who would like to start talking about a book?
I can go, if that's okay. I have a poem. I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud by William Wordsworth. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high over vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils beside the lake beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze, continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way. They stretch in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not but be gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the show to me had bought. For oft when on my couch I lie in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasures fills and dances with the daffodils.
That's pretty. What made you choose that poem?
I like the repetition and the wording of it. And I just feel like, you know, just a message to all of us. It just, I don't know, just spoke to me.
Nice. It's nice when that happens. It's funny. It's just the word daffodils made me like yearn for spring, even though it's we still have to make it through fall and winter. I'm like ready for spring already.
I'm just finishing up my poetry unit in creative writing that I'm taking in college. It's very fun. I'm learning about all the different forms. I still like freeform the best because the others seem very complicated. Mm. And I don't like it when writing has a lot of rules and restrictions, but it's a very fun class.
Have you found any new poets that you like a lot?
A few. For some reason, at the very beginning of this unit, we had to read Hills Like White Elephants again by Ernest Hemingway. And you know how I feel about his writing. I really, really don't like it. But yeah, a lot of the poems we read were very good. But I can't remember the actual names of the authors.
I've started reading a lot more poetry in the past year, and I really like reading poetry. I mean, obviously it depends on the collection or the poet, but I found a lot that I really enjoyed. But I haven't read much in the past month or two, but I have some at home that I'm looking forward to. So maybe I'll share a poem in the coming weeks.
Yeah. So like, since I have like my English class is just books, like we are not reading any poetry. So like I went to Poetry Foundation, I would often like go to Poetry Foundation and read poems, because like sometimes, like even how much I like books, but sometimes it gets like, you know, a little boredom of just constantly reading books. So like I changed this night. So like I found that. And
let me see if I have one on here. Oh yeah, I can read one. I forgot. Actually, this was way back in October of last year. I was reading a poetry book and I took some pictures of poems that I liked that I thought I might want to share. And then I never did. But I kept them on my phone in case I ever did. So this one is called Instructions on Not Giving Up. It's by Ada Limón, and I believe it was from The Carrying. But because it's just a picture of the poem, I'm not positive. So, instructions on not giving up. More than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crabapple tree, more than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy colored blossoms to the slate sky of spring rains, it's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. When all the shock of white and taffy, the world's baubles and trinkets, leave the pavement strewn with the confetti of aftermath, the leaves come. Patient, plodding, a green skin growing over whatever winter did to us. A return to the strange idea of continuous living, despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Fine then, I'll take it, the tree seems to say. A new slick leaf unfurling like a fist. I'll take it all. It's another spring poem. Maybe I just really like spring. Who knows?
Let's not skip over too much. I like autumn.
Yeah, I love fall. I actually really love winter if we get some major snow. I don't like blah winter. Like when it's just cold and rainy and icy, I want some like knee-high snow, like hurt my back shoveling snow. Like everything shuts down snow. That's, I want.
Yeah.
Not every day, but I need at least one of those per winter, or else it just feels like a waste.
Yeah, I like snow.
I guess in poetry, I like spring so far. Mm. I'll have to see if I can find a fall, summer, or winter poem that I love too. Yeah. Did someone else want to share?
I like some. The summer.
You like summer?
Pretty hard, by the way. And guess what? When you were little, did you read any books?
When I was little, did I read books?
Yeah.
I read a lot of books when I was little. I read a lot of books most of my life, although there were times when I didn't read as much, especially in college, because I just had to read a lot of textbooks. So I was still reading, but not for fun. Although some of it was fun. Or interesting, at least.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. So, Fatia, did you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, The Mouse and the Lion, right?
Mouse and the Lion. Well, I don't have that book, but I can tell you about all about it. I have a memory about it. Okay. So, like, once upon a time, a lion and a mouse. The mouse was so scared, and all of the friends were thinks, you're a scaredy cat, you're a scaredy cat. Then one day the mouse got at the king lion, and he was standing on the lion's back and speaking to his friend, look at me, the little mouse was doing that. And the lion shook his back, and the mouse fell down, and the lion told him, who are you, what are you doing here, at the lion. And then the lion was about to eat him. And then the lion said, goodness, I'm full. So now get out of my way. And then 3 hours later, the lion was getting hungry. And then the lion got trapped. The hunters put that. And then the lion called everyone. And everyone heard it. Then the lion got out. Then the lion said, jump on my back. And then they all got back, escaped. And then the hunters saw nothing there. And then everyone laughed and rejoined. And they all lived happily ever after. Be and
maybe the hunters didn't live happily ever after.
Yeah, I like
but that's okay.
The storm is there. I hate the storm so much.
Yeah. The storm is like getting very bad. The tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stormy. Thanks for sharing that story, Fatia. I liked your telling of it. I've heard it.
Yeah. I'm getting scared because I keep looking
there. I'm scared. Some lightning. All right. So let's get back to the book. It's the only way we'll survive. Lena, did you have a story you wanted to share? I think Lena got blown away by the storm. Lena.
I'm here.
Do you have a book you want to talk about?
Yeah, my book is actually a chapter from the Grimm's Fairy Tales book, and the part of the book is called The Fisherman and His Wife. And so basically, it's about a fisherman who caught a fish who turns out to be a prince, and he goes and tells his wife about the fish, and the wife is always trying to make the fish grant wishes, and every single time she asks for a wish, like, she wants more than that wish, and every single time she makes a wish that's more and more, like, that makes her more and more basically powerful from the wish, something happens to, like, the earth, and the last wish she ever asked for was her to be God. But I'm not going to tell you the ending to the story. So did she make the wish? Did she become God? Did she not become God? You'll never know until you read it yourself.
I forget. I feel like I've read a couple versions of that story. One of which was the fisherman and his wife were cats. But yeah, I like a good fairy tale. Those are fun. Oh, did you read that one recently? Or do you just remember that from a while ago?
I remember that from a while ago when my brother was telling me the story.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, Bound by Books was almost called Donkey Cabbages, which is a Grimm's fairy tale that is very odd. And when Quinn Gunter and I believe she was 10 at the time when we started the show, we just had a radio show where we talked about stuff, and most of the time that stuff was books. And so we were trying to decide what to call the show. And at one point we considered Donkey Cabbages, but luckily we went with Bound by Books instead.
Our power's out. The wind just flung one of our porch chairs into the lawn.
Yeah. To everyone listening to this on Friday or Sunday, we're recording on Wednesday. And it just got stormy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a spooky book to talk about. So I read a book this past weekend called Night of the Mannequins by Stephen Graham Jones. And it's a short book. It is a book as opposed to a short story, but it's very small. So I was able to read it pretty quickly. And it's really super creepy, disturbing, scary. So not suggested for everybody. And I'm not totally sure if it's a young adult title or an adult title, but it is about teenagers. And aside from being very disturbing and violent, I don't think there's anything super inappropriate in it. Yeah, so it's called Night of the Mannequins. And it's about a group of friends who, when they were younger, had one time been like goofing around and found a mannequin. And then it became this thing where they would like move it around to their houses and they would like play pranks with it and like, you know, set it up in different spots. And then at some point they kind of forgot about it for a little bit. But then their friend Shanna gets a new job at the movie theater and they get in trouble for sneaking in to the movie theater. And that inspires them to play a prank on both her and the movie theater, which leads to some bad things happening. And the start of the novel, this is like how it begins, is, so Shanna got a new job at the movie theater. We thought we'd play a fun prank on her. And now most of us are dead. And I'm really starting to feel kind of guilty about it all. So basically the prank that they decide to pull is that they pay for their tickets to get into the theater and they take the mannequin apart, their friend Manny the mannequin. So they take him apart piece by piece and sneak him in and then put him back together and have him in the theater so that when the ushers come to do their check, they'll find this like mannequin that is in there. Like the count will be off because they didn't buy a ticket for the mannequin. But then what happens is they come to do their check and the usher comes by the mannequin, sees his ticket and moves on and doesn't react in any way to the fact that there's a mannequin in the theater. And then the movie ends and the main character Sawyer, who's telling the story, swears that Manny the mannequin gets up and walks out. And then shortly thereafter, Shanna dies in an accident. There's a Mack truck plows through her home, taking out her and her dogs and some of her family. And Sawyer is convinced that Manny the mannequin is to blame for it and that he's coming for them and that they'd be better off taking care of themselves so that there aren't other people in their family that get harmed. And then it just gets really dark and disturbing from there. So definitely if you're into reading scary stories for the month of Halloween, this one's pretty creepy. I don't know if it's scary as opposed to disturbing, but maybe it's a little of both. I think some people are already scared of mannequins anyways, even ones that aren't walking around and potentially murdering people. So pretty scary, but that's Night of the Mannequins.
That sounds really cool.
Graham Jones. He writes some creepy books. I've read another one by him and he has another new one that came out this fall that I want to read. But yeah. Woo. I got to find another scary book to read. I love reading scary books in October. That's how I get in the Halloween spirit. I'm horrible at costumes, but I'm good at reading scary books and watching scary movies too. Do you all have any favorite scary books or movies?
I mean, I know I've talked about Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark a lot, but it's now a movie and a book, and I love both of the adaptations. So, yeah, it's very good.
It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a good job of pulling in the different stories and making like a new narrative around them.
Yeah, I love that.
How about Lina or Mashuda?
My favorite scary story is like The Quiet Place.
Oh, the movie? That.
Yeah, the movie. Yeah, I was looking forward to The Quiet Place 2, but then it got delayed because of COVID.
Oh, yeah. I remember the previews right before everything shut down.
It was supposed to be on like March 17th, released on March 17th, or never.
I'm curious when movies will start coming out again. I mean, I guess there have been a couple, but seems like they're holding out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one was, I felt like it was very nerve-wracking watching that.
Yeah.
They did a good job of that. How about you, Lena? Do you have a favorite scary book or movie?
My favorite movie is Happy Death, the series of the Happy Death Day movies. And my favorite scary book, which I actually don't find scary, is my Grimm's Fairy Tale book.
Might be scary if you lived in it.
Yeah, maybe, but these were written a long time ago, I'm pretty sure. And back then, people were easy to scare, apparently, according to my brother.
It's harder to sleep with the lights on back then.
No.
Well, we're almost out of time. We want to remind everyone listening that we are in the Essential Radio Pledge Drive right now. We're doing our part to help raise some funds for WGXC. We hope everyone out there listening will go online to wgxc.org/donate to pledge your support to WGXC. You can make a tax-deductible one-time donation, or you can help us reach our goal for this pledge drive of getting 30 new sustaining supporters by making a sustaining supporter pledge, where you commit to contribute a certain amount of money each month throughout the year. And that's money that we can count on throughout the year, year to year. And we're looking to have 30 new sustaining supporters. We still have a little ways to go. We hope you'll help us reach that goal and help keep WGXC on the air and help keep shows like Bound by Books on the air. We want to keep talking about books forever and ever. So go to wgxc.org/donate and pledge your support. But on that note, we're going to say goodbye. Hope everyone has a good week. Happy reading.
Happy reading.
I hope you have a good
week.
Oh, meethi meethi si ye muniya sar pe daale hai ye chuniya kyun? Ha kyun? Oh, soni soni si kudi nu moj me rehne de na duniya kyun? ਆ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਕਿਉਂ ਹੈ ਕਿੰਨੀ ਸ਼ਾਨਦਾਰ ਕੁੜੀ ਇਹ ਕਰ ਦੇਗੀ ਕਮਾਲ ਇਸੇ ਝੂਮ ਨੇੜੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਮੀਤ ਤੇ ਕੁੜੀ ਨੂੰ ਨੱਚਣੇ ਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਨੱਚਣੇ ਦੇ ਤੂੰ ਅੱਜ ਲਗਾਣੇ ਦੇ ਠੁਮਕੇ ਹਾਂ ਝੁਮਕੇ ਕੁੜੀ ਨੂੰ ਨੱਚਣੇ ਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਨੱਚਣੇ ਦੇ ਤੂੰ ਸਾਰਿਆਂ ਫਿਕਰਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਬਨ ਠਨ ਕੇ ਕੁੜੀ ਨੂੰ ਨੱਚਣੇ ਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਨੱਚਣੇ ਦੇ
A new study shows New York was the only state to see a significant decline in its number of uninsured children since 2016, but that progress is in jeopardy. Most states saw either more children without health insurance or no change in the percentage of kids covered. But the report from the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families shows from 2016 to 2019, the number of uninsured New York children fell by almost 11%. Kate Breslin with the Schuyler Center for Analysis and Advocacy credits state government and policymakers for the progress.
Our state's leadership at all levels has prioritized health and coverage for children, no matter where their families come from.
But advocates for children's health fear the economic recession caused by the COVID pandemic will drive the number of uninsured children up nationwide and in New York. Joan Elker, who heads the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families, notes that bipartisan efforts on the national level had led to several years of progress in reducing the rate of uninsured children across the country.
What we see now is that trend has clearly turned around since President Trump took office, and we're going backwards at an accelerating rate.
She adds the largest increase in uninsured children was between 2018 and 2019, when the national economy was relatively strong. And Breslin points out that next month, the Trump administration and 18 Republican state attorneys general will ask the U.S. Supreme Court to rule that the entire Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional.
It would be a big loss for our communities if the Affordable Care Act went away, and we would likely see an increase in uninsured across the board.
Studies have estimated that eliminating the Affordable Care Act would mean about 20 million Americans would lose their health insurance. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Tennis. Last time it went no tennis.
I'm Tom Morrow in Acre, and that's the sound of the trailer for Tenet, the biggest Hollywood blockbuster to open in movie theaters around the United States since the COVID-19 pandemic began. But the film has not opened in New York, as state restrictions still do not allow indoor movie theaters to operate. The Center for Disease Control still considers watching movies indoors with crowds a high-risk activity. Coronavirus is known to spread through breath, and sitting still indoors with many other people breathing is not considered a safe practice now. Locally, just three movie theaters have been open this summer. Time and Space Limited showed older films and held concerts with local musicians in its outdoor parking lot in Hudson. And with later starts, Coxsackie's Highway Drive-In and the Greenville Drive-In both opened for business this summer. The Greenville Drive-In, after showing mostly older movies with a few selections from the Woodstock Film Festival, shut down prematurely last week with the October 7th windstorm closing things a night early. Until recently, even the outdoor theaters did not have much to show, as most release dates keep being pushed back. But the Highway Drive-In is now operating with brand new movies most weekends. Drive-in theaters are only allowed to open at 50% capacity, so things have not been easy. And Warner Brothers is not letting New York drive-ins screen Tenet to keep the film's complicated plot and surprises secret. Natasha Vaughn of Columbia Green Media spoke with the owners of the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. Quote, "It seems like we're right on track to do about the same amount of gross that we've always done. Business picked up a little bit because it was the safest thing they could do. We saw an awful lot of new faces. That's the good news. Lots of new people. And they have made themselves regulars," unquote, said Roger Babcock. But there are more local indoor movie theaters, and they are not allowed to open. Both the Crandall Theater in Chatham and the Community Theater in Catskill report they took the Paycheck Protection Program loans from the federal government earlier this year to stay in business. Quote, "Now it's pretty much just a waiting game, trying to make sure you're still able to pay the taxes or utilities. Roofs can still leak. Equipment needs to be maintained. Right now it's a tightrope that theaters are walking," unquote, said Philip Maiazzano, owner of the Community Theater in Catskill on Main Street. The Orpheum Theater in Saugerties has not posted an update on its Facebook page since August, and the Catskill Mountain Foundation website says, quote, "The movie theaters in Hunter and Tannersville are closed until further notice as New York State tries to contain the spread of COVID-19, unquote. The Wyndham Theater website claims that it is, quote, "opening real soon, awaiting final approval from Governor Cuomo," unquote. Greenville Drive-In's website may be more realistic, saying it is reopening on May 8, 2021. Quote, "The governor's mandate to keep us dark is very hard on us, as well as all the theaters, as well as the movie makers, distributors, and more who make a living on entertainment that is seen in the cinema. People are eager to share the movie experience, and we are sad to be closed," unquote, TSL's Linda Musman told HudsonValley360.com.
That part is a little dramatic.
Last time it was no tennis.
New York Spoilage Report suggests local lookers will see peak colors this weekend. The state's leaf-looking website said, and I quote, in the Catskills, reports from the higher elevations of Greene County predict that peak foliage will hang on through the weekend, with leaves showcasing very brilliant shades of red, yellow, and purple. Peak foliage in Catskill should also hold on, with 95% change and brilliant red, yellow, and orange leaves. Rensselaer County spotters in Rensselaer and Troy project near peak conditions and 80% change with a full spectrum of fall colors, including brilliant orange, bright yellow, and gorgeous orange-red leaves. Albany County spotters reporting from Altamont along the Helderberg Escarpment predict 90% color change this weekend with very bright red, yellow, and orange leaves. Nearby Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville should see up to 70% leaf change with red, yellow, and orange leaves. Spotters in Cohoes at Cohoes Falls predict more than 50% color change with gold, yellow, and orange leaves.
It's time again for WGXC's Pledge Drive. This time, essential radio is the theme. And we know that these days during the pandemic, not all of you have the means to make a donation to community radio. Those of you that do have the means to keep community voices on 90.7 FM, please do at wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. But if you do not have the means these days, there are still ways to help. For one, you could call our 3-minute phone line at 518-291-WGXC or 518-291-9492. Leave a 3-minute message about why community radio is important to you and why others should make a donation to WGXC. If you do have the means, by all means do become a sustainable supporter at wgxc.org/donate and help keep community radio on the air in your community. If you don't have the means, you can also amplify the WGXC Essential Radio Pledge Drive on social media by retweeting and liking and sharing posts about the WGXC Pledge Drive or about how to become a sustainable supporter at wgxc.org/donate. Please do what you can to help keep community voices on the air at 90.7 FM.
Kef C. Crow II is reporting for the Times Union. Four people were arraigned October 7th in Columbia County Court on charges stemming from the assault that took place the night of July 4th and 5th at a private home in Kinderhook. Alex Rosenstrach, 37, a gym owner, his wife, Columbia County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Briscoe Rosenstrach, Brian Hagg, 37, an IRS law enforcement agent, and Corey Gaylord, 31, a contractor, were each indicted on felony counts of second-degree gang assault and first-degree unlawful imprisonment. It is alleged the quartet restrained and attacked Valencia resident and business owner Harold Handy during the party. The Rosenstrachs hosted the annual holiday party at their home at 3193 County Route 21, just outside the village of Kinderhook. The case has drawn scrutiny as people questioned how the county sheriff could ethically investigate the incident given the Rosenstrachs' ties to the area law enforcement. Many residents have spoken up in support of Handy, who owns Handy Repairs, an auto repair business. He was taken to Albany Medical Center Hospital after the assault due to the severity of his injuries. The State Police Special Investigations Unit eventually took over the investigation from the Sheriff's Office, working with District Attorney Paul Chica. Chica said the case remains under investigation. Defense counsel said the case would show that Handy provoked the fights at the party. Judge Richard Kowiek signed an order of protection to keep the defendants away from Handy. All four were released on their own recognizance. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Details of the indictments handed up by a Columbia County grand jury October 7th have emerged one day after Alex Rosenstrach, Kelly Briscoe Rosenstrach, and Brian Hagg and Corey Gaylord were arraigned on felony counts of second-degree gang assault and first-degree unlawful imprisonment. The charges stemmed from an alleged assault that took place the night of July 4th and 5th at the Rosenstrasse's home. Two of the counts in the indictment are related to the reckless endangerment charges filed against defendants Alex Rosenstrasse and Gaylord. According to the indictment, two weapons were fired the night of the house party where the alleged assault took place. Kelly Rosenstrasse's service weapon was not discharged. Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chica said, and I quote, "No firearms were owned or in any way connected to Columbia County Sheriff's Office," end quote. He said the firearms cited in the charging document were registered to Alex Rosenstrasse and Gaylord. Columbia County Sheriff's Office spokesman Lieutenant Lewis Bray said Kelly Rosenstrasse, a Columbia County Sheriff's deputy, was suspended from the department without pay effective Wednesday, October 8th. Under the official misconduct charges, Kelly Rosenstrasse is accused of plotting a cover-up by accessing records at the Columbia County Sheriff's Office, intending to pass confidential information on to another party. The indictment also charges Gaylord and Alex Rosenstrasse with third-degree coercion. In addition to allegations of gang assault and regular assault, the indictment also alleges the defendants acted together to prevent a person present at the party from calling 911. They instilled fear in that person that, and I quote, "if the demand is not complied with, the actors or another would cause physical injury to a person," end quote, according to the indictment. After being arraigned, all four defendants were released on their own recognizance by the Columbia County Judge Richard M. Kowig. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
On October 7th, at the Columbia County Court, four people were arraigned on charges stemming from the assault that took place the night of July 4th and 5th at a private home in Kinderhook. Alex Rosenstrasse, 37, a gym teacher, his wife, Columbia County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Briscoe Rosenstrasse, Brian Hogg, 37, an IRS law enforcement agent, and Corey Gallard, 31, a contractor, were indicted on felony counts of second-degree gang assault and first-degree unlawful imprisonment of the beating of Valencia resident and business owner Harold Handy at the party. Little information has come out about what happened that night, as law enforcement was involved. First, the Columbia County Sheriff's investigating themselves, then the investigation turned over to the state police. Lance Wheeler shot video outside the courthouse on October 7th and heard from defense attorneys defending their clients.
You know, it was unfortunate. It was a late night party. There were a lot of intoxicated people there. Some of the people that got, the individual that got injured, we believe, precipitated and instigated and caused and got into a physical altercation with some people there. However, you have the right to defend yourself. So it is what it is, but this is a long story and the truth will out.
So, you know, going in today, what were you guys hoping maybe the next step in this?
Okay, we were going in hoping that there wouldn't be a gang assault. We're hoping that the charges would accurately reflect what we believe transpired at that evening, and there is a gang assault too, and we don't feel that that is reflective of what actually transpired that evening. And we there's a lot of witnesses to that.
Well, Mike, gang assault is very rare charge, you can see.
It is very rare, and it's usually when there's a gang, and it's usually when a gang does something. We don't have that in this case.
So obviously the next thing is in October, you know, it's virtually. Do you think that's going to be harder? I know that's...
The judge has indicated that the virtual does take longer, and with technological differences, and the New York State just changed who we're using as a software provider, it's not easy. It will get accomplished, and I'm confident that we will get all the discovery in due time.
And obviously, you've been saying it's been going on for a while, and all of the defendants seem to be from the area, have very well good jobs, and
well known and connected to the community, invested in the community, and have deep roots in the community.
Well, frankly, it's disturbing, the indictment that was presented here today against Kelly. There's allegations revolving a gang assault, which factually as well as legally doesn't fit. I'm not sure if anyone knows much about this, but at the time my client was 7 months pregnant very pregnant. And the prosecution's theory on this is that the complainant in this case, who was a guest at a party, frankly got into two or three separate fights over the duration of 45 minutes. And what the prosecution here is trying to do is trying to say that because this individual who was combative fought with somebody minute one and then 45 minutes later got into another fight, they're now trying to lump this together as to be a gang assault. In order to be a gang assault, there has to be a shared mens rea, essentially a shared intent. One fight may not even known about the earlier fight. There was some press-related information that I read that this individual had to be intubated because how bad his injuries are. When in actuality, what had occurred that this individual was so drunk and antagonistic with the medical professionals that he attempted to fight them in the ambulance and then was intubated based upon how combative and aggressive he was. So that's the type of case we're dealing with here. Those are the facts that, frankly, the media is not aware of. And unfortunately, because of the public outcry based upon misinformation, this indictment has been brought down. I don't think legally there is grounds to charge my client, a well-respected member of this community, as well as the Sheriff's Department, with the level of charges that they've been brought here. And she will vigorously defend this matter. I suspect it may not hold up to motion practice. So we will see. So thank you for your time.
As I indicated in court, my client, Mr. Haig, is in a very unique position here. He didn't know this individual before.
Thank you.
This individual was intoxicated. He was belligerent. He was abusive. My client responded as any being would, which is to defend himself in the face of attack. It's very straightforward. It's very simple. We shouldn't be here. We are. He looks forward to defending himself in court to explain the circumstances of this. We also have an intoxicated person who's seeking to profit off of this financially.
How's that?
He's made clear that he is looking for money and lots of money. And I think that aspect of this case will also be very important to understand his motives.
The gang assault is a very rare charge.
It is, yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's obviously a very serious charge. We're going to address whether we think it's appropriate in this case. In addition to the factual issues in this case, which I just mentioned, I think there's legal issues also. We're glad to be here. It's been out there for 3 months. A lot of rumor, a lot of innuendo. And unfortunately, what is on the internet is not only true and accurate, and we don't get a chance to address the truth of this case until we get to court. And from that point of view, my client, who believes in the system, as difficult as it is to be here, is glad that he has this opportunity.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
As our nation continues to increase its waste diversion and sustainability goals, municipal solid waste management is recognized as a major challenge. Landfilling as the primary means of solid waste disposal is becoming a very serious problem, both environmentally and economically. At the same time, we continue to overuse and rely on finite natural resources, such as coal and oil. The burning of these fossil fuels has been linked by scientists to global warming. ENA Renewables provides a proven solution to our nation's solid waste and fossil fuels problem, and is positioned to significantly impact the future of the waste industry with the introduction of a proprietary, high-efficiency mechanical biological treatment technology. Unlike other waste-to-energy technologies, the HEVI-OTT process requires no incineration or combustion in the manufacturing of the fuel. Municipal solid waste is collected by standard refuse vehicles and delivered to an ENA renewable facility, which blends in with the local environment. The facility is efficiently designed with fast opening roller shutter doors to allow vehicles to tip and turn around quickly. The industrial building is maintained under a slight negative pressure so that any odors arriving while the waste is being received are drawn into the building and pass through a large biofilter to be cleaned with the rest of the air. The dust is also captured by an air pollution control device to prevent the release of particulates to the environment. Once the waste is delivered and tipped into the reception pit,